you know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
bumper speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the Thrive Tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
In the blink of an eye, yeah. I tried to follow my heart, it just seemed to disappear. All wrapped up in someone else, and I lost another year. Time keeps ticking away, and I feel like I wasted the day thinking about things that don't really matter. Ain't it funny how time flies? Ain't it funny? 10 years in the blink of an eye, yeah. 10 years in the blink of an eye. 10 long, 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 boring years. 10 years in the blink of an eye. 10 long years. Feel like you wanna cry.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, and 107.1 FM St. Louis. With me tonight is Don Shear from the band Anger the Ant. What's up, Don?
How's it going?
Not too bad. How are you?
Oh, living the dream, sir. Living the dream.
So my first question is an obvious one. And I usually ask it of every band, but really, I really want to know. Where did the band name come from?
I love this story just because it's so weird. We originally were going through band names, and there's another local musician here in Butler named Tom Pappas, who I always joke is the prettiest man in Butler. And so I wanted to name the band Prettier Than Tom, and we actually got a majority vote from the band for it. And then Tom was like, I will kill you if you do that. So the logo was actually going to be like a silhouette of his face and then Prettier Than Tom. Because we thought it'd be funny, you know, like tonight at the Lindora, Tom Pappas with special guest Prettier Than Tom. But so we decided not to go there. But then we have another friend, Anthony Atkins, who's in an amazing band called Good Old Ernie. They were still waiting for their first release, but they've been around for a couple of years now. And they're a phenomenal kind of bluegrass rock kind of vibe to them. And Anthony, the one night, just had one of the angriest moments I've ever seen on stage. So we're like, what about naming it Angrier Than Anthony? And it sort of started to morph from there. And when it was down to an ant named Anger, and then that turned into Anger the Ant. So it's actually kind of a throw, like a tip of the cap to a couple local musicians here in the area.
And they're all aware of where it came from?
Yeah, they are. we've been asked on the radio a couple times where it comes from. And every time Tom Pappas sends me a message just saying, I hate you. So...
Hi, Tom.
Yeah, exactly. Hello, Mr. Pappas. Check him out. He's a dude's got an amazing voice. If you play Drunk on Us or All of Me, he's actually doing the backup vocals on those tracks. We had special musicians come in. We had special guests come in and do harmonies on all the tracks on the disc. And Tom's one of them. He did Drunk on Us and All of Me from the debut album.
He has stuff on the Butler Music Project that you had me playing, correct?
Yes, he has, what song? He has Mexico on that. It's the beautiful, and he's actually in the studio right now, recording his second album. And I love his first album. It kind of reminds me of like David Gray, that kind of style. Mm-hmm. And his second album is just, it's gorgeous. They're doing a phenomenal job on it. When he drops it, I can't wait to see the reaction of people.
So you're from the Butler area.
And, yes, I am.
And, this past summer at the band jam, why am I blanking on the name of the campgrounds?
Oh, Cooper's Lake.
Thank you, Cooper's Lake. I should know that. I went to Slippery Rock, so it's kind of in the area. But at the band jam, you guys won the Grassy Award for Drunk on Us, and What does that entail after you win it? What do you get? I know there's a prize package.
There used to be. There has been in the past. This year it was just, we kind of just got a tip of the cap. Our CD was thrown in rotation on the local radio station. You know, we get the bragging rights. And it opened up a lot of doors for us. I mean, in the area, it's a big deal to be able to say, hey, we're a Grassy Award winner, because the previous bands that have won have all top notch talent. Like it's just an honor to be mentioned in the same ilk as them. And it's kind of fun too, that when you look at, cause we're the fourth winner, the other three, it's just drastically different styles among the music too. So it's been kind of neat to see, like, it's not, you know, you don't, it's not necessarily going to be, oh, like a jam band won it this year or a hard rock band won it this year. Every year it's been something a little different. And it's been kind of neat to see the reaction. But normally it would come with a recording package with Meat Locker Studios, but we had already recorded our album at Meat Locker. So that's why they didn't up that package for us. They were just like, well, you guys already did it. We're like, yeah, that's fine. We didn't really have anything ready to go anyways, because we won the award about 3 weeks after we re-released the album. So it was still kind of fresh. And we're like, that's fine. But no, the radio station was awesome about it. I get text messages about 3 times a day from people saying, hey, we just heard your song on the radio, good job. So
yeah, the 97.7 the rock station. I love those guys.
Oh, and Bob Cupp in Utah, they're phenomenal. They're what they do for local music in the Butler area is just out of this world. They have their own little show on Sunday nights here, and I mean, they're the only local station or radio station I know of on the actual radio that focuses on, like, they actually have a show that focuses on just local music, but they also throw it in rotation. Like, you'll just randomly hear the local songs play throughout the day. It's not like, oh, we set aside 2 hours on us every Sunday night. No, they'll play it like randomly throughout the week.
I met Bob the first time in September. I was at Corbriar Woodstock, which is on the Rock Done Right tour. But I've known Utah, early 2000s. I can't even pinpoint the year. My AK Music Scene website, he actually had a hand in naming it, and he actually paid for the domain the first year, and that was back in 2004.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's been great. In fact,
it's been great. So
January 29th, John Lane is on the Grassroots show, and he and I have some projects together with podcasting and websites. And he was actually covering for me. I was supposed to be the guest, but I was kind of teaching when I was supposed to be being interviewed. So, those guys, they're awesome.
Yeah, they like I said, they've great to us, and anytime they call, we answer because they do so much. It's so fun to work with them too. Like, they're just like, they're all about it. They honestly care about the local music scene and the musicians. So like, if they call, you answer because you know they're going to treat you like kings, even though you're just a local band, and they're going to put on one hell of a show. So it's always fun whenever we hear from them.
Now, I know they're in the process of announcing who's playing at the band jam, and I don't know if you're sworn to secrecy or not, but are you guys involved again this year?
We're assuming we are. they no official announcements, nothing, like they haven't contacted us or anything like that, but I know the first episode of the Grassroots show afterwards, they did say there were four bands that were guaranteed invites back next year, and we were one of them because we were one of the top four ticket sellers. So hopefully we're kind of been advertised. We're keeping that month open, expecting the invites. We'll see.
How did you guys come in contact with them? Was it through Shady Lady or?
It was actually I first met them through the local music project that I recorded. God, that's what, two, three years ago now. And back then I had a different band going, but I wasn't really focused on the band. Like we're kind of somewhere in limbo between being a cover and original band. And then, we started this band with, a new lineup, and we kind of debuted at Butler had this awesome little concert series going on downtown. One Friday every month over the summer, and that was actually our debut show, and we actually, it spawned a big buzz about us, because no one had ever heard of us before, and we kind of opened up to a big crowd, and Utah reached out to us and said, hey, we'd love to have you guys on. A couple months later, we were on the air with them, and everything kind of, they really rocketed our momentum, because we went from let's get a solid hour of music down and go out and open for people to, after them having us on the radio, we were getting demands to headline shows. And so it was, we basically went from 0 to 100 pretty quickly. And we ended up getting our first album out within a year. We actually released the release date of the first album was the 1 year anniversary of the band's first show.
Wow.
So it was a pretty quick turnaround. It was a lot of credit to Bob in Utah, because when they put us on the radio, it was all of a sudden like these show offers just started flying in, and we gobbled them up and raised the money and got an album out. So
you guys,
as you were saying, Bob and Utah are awesome. They were definitely, they had a big hand, big part in getting us getting the first album out, and then we ended up winning the award. So it was, I guess, I should hug them the next time I see them, now that I'm thinking about it.
So, you're just a little over a year old then, about a year and a half.
Year and a half. We'll be, the last Friday in June was our debut concert. So yeah, we'll be 2 years old. We started rehearsing in like March of 2015. And so yeah. Yeah, we're coming up on 2 years here pretty soon.
What's your favorite venue to play?
That's a tough question. It's been weird for us because we haven't really gotten many venues, because whenever we play a spot, they treat us well and invite us back, and we've kind of had a revolving door thing going here for a while with a couple different places. I will say the coolest shows that we've had were the band jam at Cooper's Lake. That was phenomenal. That just so many amazing musicians there. There was a gentleman that played before us named Wojo, that I'm in love with this guy's music right now. And then we also played a benefit show for, the American Legion in Lindora they had a neat little stage, but it was to raise money. The Traveling Vietnam Wall Memorial is coming to Butler, and they had to raise money for it. And we got asked to play that. And that was one of the coolest shows we've done. Also there's an event, Ryan's Run, for the Special Olympics that we did. And we will be playing that one again this year. We did get the invite back for that one. And that was my second time playing it. And it's just, they're just a blast. But, right now, venue wise, we've got a nice rotation coming up here where we're going to be playing places that we haven't done before. But right now, probably top of the list of just regular venue, I'd say Monroe Hotel.
Okay. And that's pretty close to your home area.
And literally everybody in the band lives 2 minutes away from the bar. So, so they all knew us there, but they, like, that's where we did our, the night we debuted at the downtown stage, we ended up we opened up for a band named Shagdog Melonhead, at the Monroe later that night. And then, we've basically been for the last 2 years, been headlining their Halloween show. And, they invited us to play St. Patty's this year. So, yeah, they've been awesome to us. And we did our CD release there and everything else. So it's just a great, great little neighborhood bar. And they got a stage there that's top notch, and really enjoy it. Oh, you know what was a cool venue we played? Have you ever been to Nikki's Quick Six in Vandergrift?
Yep.
Oh, man.
I actually almost drove over there when you were there.
Oh, okay.
I live like 5 minutes from there.
I kid you not. We got asked, we shot a music video for Drunk on Us, and we actually ended up shooting two different videos. And the one video that we didn't end up releasing, the girl that starred in it, we actually filmed portions of it in Nikki's Quick Six, and she worked there, and she asked us to play there. And the stage is unbelievable because you're up on a balcony.
Yeah, overlooking. I was gonna say that's, it used to be a gas station.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But I just remember, like, we were looking at it whenever she invited us to play, and I was like, we set up there. She's like, yeah. And it's kind of a tight fit for a band, but the atmosphere is amazing. Like, because everyone's below you, and like everyone's looking up at you when you're playing, and you're, I don't know, it was kind of neat. It's kind of, I'm afraid of heights, so that was kind of nerve pop. Kind of rattled the nerves a little, but it was a cool experience.
Was it you that was looking for a capo when you were there?
Yes,
I do remember.
Yeah, they asked me to play a solo gig there. It was like a random Thursday, and I got the whole way down there and realized I didn't have a capo.
Yeah,
which for me is a problem, because that's like 3/4 of my set is capoed.
Yeah, that was the night that I was thinking about coming, and then I was like, you know what, 6 a.m. comes too early. So
yeah, but that was one of the cooler venues. Plus, they have a giant Sasquatch on the stage.
They do. And did you eat while you were there? Because their hoagies are phenomenal.
Yes, but yeah, maybe we got to reach out to them about going back and playing.
If I was to look at your music collection, what bands would I see in it?
You would be highly disappointed. No, I it's funny because everyone always asks me, they're like, "What kind of stuff do you listen to?" And I don't actually listen to music. Like, if you were to, I'm on talk radio constantly, or I listen to the local music shows. Other than that, I don't own a single CD. I don't own, unless it's local music.
Well, this is a local music show, so you can talk about that.
Like the ones that I've gotten that stick with me are Daily Grind. I love those guys. They're sweetheart of guys, and they just got a cool sound to them, and I constantly love listening to them evolve. Newest ones I've been listening to: Red Lines, Tom Pappas, which I just mentioned. His CD's always on there. Dizzy Woosh, I got theirs. Highland Brothers, I'm shocked that people don't get out and see the talent that's in this area. It's like, yes, we're a small little town here in Butler and like in the surrounding Pittsburgh area, but there's so much good music, like original music. And it just, when people ask me, they're like, hey, so-and-so's coming for a concert, do you want to go? I'm like, no, I'd rather go see like good old Ernie down at the Monroe that night.
Well, that's Brian from the Red Lines was on my show last week.
Yes.
And, love Brian. Dizzy Woosh has been on the Weekly Rock blog with Brian Schaefer, who is in my podcaster scene group. So we're kind of reaching out to the Butler area currently and looking into Pittsburgh. And, of course, we're hanging out in our little AK Valley here where Nicky's is part of that. But
I just heard a band on the radio. It was on the Grassroots Show. A couple weeks ago, and there once I've only heard one song of them, but I'm dying to hear more after hearing it. It was called Smile, My Dear, and they're out of Pittsburgh, and they reminded me a lot of like Fuel. My music references go back to the 90s when I was in high school. So but they reminded me a lot of Fuel, and I was like, oh, this is cool, and I reached out to them, and hopefully we start hearing more from them too. But yeah, there's the local scene's just phenomenal around here.
So why don't you pick one of your songs and tell us a story about it, and then we'll play it and take a short break while everyone gets to listen to it.
I would start with Easier to Forget. It's my favorite song off the first album. It's also kind of the title track of the album. The title of the album is The Story of Her in 100 Words or Less. It's just got I think it encapsulates most of our sound. Whenever you listen to the disc, you'll notice we kind of jump genres, but keep a steady tone to it.
I was listening to it a little bit tonight, and the first was Glitter and Shine. And I was like, this is kind of like a Southern rock. And then I can't remember what came on next. I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't really the same.
No, it's not. It's funny because all the songs were written before the band was formed, and it was just kind of me laying out different ideas, and whenever we put the band together, we just kind of rolled with all of them. But I think Easier to Forget is kind of the song we're kind of settling into that vibe a little bit more. It's funny because anytime we get interviewed, everyone tells us, they're like, oh, you remind us of Matchbox 20 with like a country feel to it. And I was like, I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but like, I love Matchbox 20, but the country part kind of throws me for a loop.
Well, but, I thought more like a Southern rock twang kind of thing, not so much country.
I get it when
someone says that, but it wasn't the first thing that popped into my head.
But Easier to Forget, it's literally, if you were to take the album and put it in chronological order, it would, in terms of a story, it actually tells the story of a relationship from start to finish, like the before they meet until like the him recovering. So Easier to Forget is kind of like the penultimate breakup song. If you actually listen to it, it's just what it sounds like. It's, you know,
no,
he's looking at the scenario and saying, wow, she's just completely forgotten me at this point.
Is this like a fiction story or is it nonfiction?
it's completely funny. It's completely fiction. It's funny because I always get like, people always ask me like, who's this written about? And I've never written a song about anybody. It's normally a song comes, it pops in my head, 'cause I get a line stuck in my head and then it starts to flow from there. And then the trick is figuring out where that line fits in the song. The only song on the disc that actually you could say is written about somebody or is based on somebody is Echo. I was dating a young lady who was freshly widowed, and I had just gotten out of an engagement, which I was with the person for 6 years, and Echo was kind of like our story together. So that might be the only song on the disc that's close to being about anybody, but everything else it's based around one word. And then, but I was writing when I was writing the songs, I was trying to link them all together somehow. And it was kind of trying to put together this abstract story of a relationship. But, easier to forget, the line that spurned it was literally the first line of the song is, I can't express the way I feel about you in 100 words or less. And that's kind of where the rest of the song derives from. And being a teacher, that 100 words or less was, I don't know, makes me giggle. Or it's like, yeah, you have to write an essay about a person.
So up next, you're going to hear Easier to Forget from Anger the Ant. And maybe I'll throw in something. We'll surprise you. Some more local music. And we'll be right back with Dawn Shear.
Please put out easier to forget, yeah. This podcast is part of the Podcast Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
That was Easier to Forget by Anger the Ant. And with me on phone right now is Don Shear. Don, you do vocals and do you play guitar?
I do. I play acoustic guitar and everything.
And how many members are in the band?
On the album that you guys are hearing, there's four. We recently added a fifth member, Zach Revito, who's the youngest guy in the band now by far. But we added another guitar player, which is gives us a more fuller sound, and also it can kind of molds our sound a little bit more towards the electric spectrum than having me on acoustic. So it's freeing the band up to explore a little more areas, and it's been fun. So yeah.
How did you form the band? Like, I know you played acoustically.
I did a lot of solo stuff for years. I was never in a band. It was over 10 years ago. I was asked to audition for a band in Butler as a singer, and I met Justin Lefebvre, who's the bass player and Anger the Ant, and me and him reconnected a couple years ago and started a band called 37 Regrets. It was just a three-piece. We started to gain momentum, and then it kind of just fell apart, just scheduling conflicts with our drummer, who we're still awesome friends with. Just schedules just got in the way. So me and Justin were recruiting. We're trying to find people for about a year and a half, and to no luck. And just Corey, who's the other electric guitar player, is my cousin. I've known him my whole life. And he was involved with, he always plays for his church services and stuff like that. And so we brought him on board. He's basically the guy that keeps me in check. Like, without, we joke whenever he's not at practice that the band name should be Lost Without Corey, because he keeps me, after so many years of not playing with a drummer, it's so hard to play with one, because I've developed so many bad habits over the years of, I have my own metronome in my head, and it's like, you know, sometimes the mouth is connected to the hand, to where, you know, like, I'm putting beats in that it's like, wow, you just changed timing. I'm like, I didn't know. I'm sorry. So, so Corey kind of keeps me level like that. But after about a year and a half of us searching, we kind of gave up the search, and we're like, we'll just keep our ears open. And I was out playing a guy named Kyle Lawson from the Pittsburgh area, who moved to Brooklyn recently, so he's no longer in the Pittsburgh area. Probably one of my favorite solo guys I've ever seen, like national or local, was coming down in the Butler, and he messaged me, and he's like, hey, can I use your sound system? You know, save me the hassle of having to lug it all the way there. I was like, yeah, I'll meet you there. I'll set it up. And then I ended up playing with him throughout the night, like trading off with him. And gentleman in the crowd approached me afterwards and said, I like your style. Are you looking for a drummer? And I said yes. And it turned out to be Jason Anthony, who, if anybody from the Butler or Pittsburgh area remembers the band Mind's Eye, he was the drummer for Mind's Eye.
I do.
And Mind's Eye, they're actually having a show here this coming weekend. They get out and play maybe three shows a year still. But Jason from Mind's Eye fame, he actually reached out to us, and that's kind of what kickstarted everything and got it going. So I always say, I was like, we got extremely lucky with a drummer, because we got who I think is the best one in the area. And it's been fun.
So you said that on the album, you had the songs written already before the band actually formed. Is that how the writing process is going now that the band is together, or are you getting input from other members?
It's right now, it's still mostly me. Corey writes some beautiful songs, but they're mostly country style, which might be where we get told like, hey, I hear some country in your songs, and it might be Corey's influence on them. He writes amazing songs. He actually wrote a song on that local music compilation. He didn't play on it though. Miranda Snyder's song, that's on that local music project that we did, Corey actually wrote. So he writes amazing songs, but they haven't really fit into our mold yet. So I'm hoping that he starts getting more into it. Like, you know, maybe I start to influence a little more. I don't know. Me and him have tried to sit down and write before, and it's one of those things where he has these beautiful songs and I don't want to touch them. You know what I mean? Like it's not that, how can I put it? I feel bad if I try to edit his stuff. Cause it's like, this is a beautiful song the way it is. It's not something that we should try to morph. And whenever I do try to morph it, it just feels unnatural, but hopefully we start doing that more. The one thing we are finding is, as I'm writing them now, I do have the band in mind, which is nice. So it's getting a little bit more stable. That was actually the band messaging me, if you heard the ding.
I did.
So I do have the band in mind now that I'm writing. And it's been interesting because I take the song to the band and they right away, it either gets a yes, let's pursue that, or no, let's not. We actually had one where a song, it's called 40 Shades of Red, and they didn't like what I did with the guitar part, and so Zach took it and was like, let me see what I can do with it, and he changed the guitar part completely different, and now it still has our vibe on it, but it's got a completely different feel to it. So yeah, it's been mostly me writing the songs, but I'm not that guy that when I take to the band, I say, I hear this and you guys need to do this. It's like, no, you guys put your own little stank on it. Like I'm not a drummer. I'm not going to tell the drummer what to play. I'm not a bass player. I'm not going to tell them what riff I hear in my head. Cause I think I have an excellent group of musicians and I trust what they decide to do with it. And it's kind of got a neat little sound to it.
When the listeners go searching for Anger the Ant on the internet, where are they going to find you?
Mostly Facebook is our presence right now. We didn't set up a website. We're not the band that goes out and plays every weekend, so we couldn't really justify paying for a website to be up constantly. So Facebook, there is a Reverb Nation page. We are on Twitter, though we don't have many followers on Twitter. Everything kind of exploded a little faster for us than we expected. So we're still playing catch up on the social media end of things. But yeah, Facebook, you can check us out there. Reverb Nation. We got some tracks up there. You can buy the album off CD Baby, iTunes, Google Play, anywhere you can download music. It's available.
Who are your influences? That's a question I should have asked in the first segment.
Mine personally, like I have a weird musical history. Like I didn't start playing guitar until I was in college. Like I had a guitar when I was 12, learned kind of the basics back then, but I never got serious about it until I was in college. And I kind of wound up on the road after a year because I was rooming with a guy who was probably the best guitar player I've ever seen in my life. Just one of those savants. And I fell in love with like Dave Matthews, Matchbox 20, Fuel. Like I'm a 90s baby. Jason Mraz, I actually played a couple shows with Jason Mraz before he became Jason Mraz. which is, I always like love telling that story because everyone's like, you played with Jason Mraz. I'm like, yeah, but it's not what you think. Like it wasn't like this was before he was on the charts and stuff. It was a luck of the draw coincidence that we ran into each other. But, so yeah, my influences are a lot in the, like from the 90s. And then the reason why, if you listen to the story of her in 100 words or less, the reason why you're listening to it and go, well, it's got the same tone through everything, but it's almost, there's like a slight genre shift from song to song. A lot of it was because I spent so much time on that local music project that I was having other people's voices in my head. And other people's styles in my head from spending so much time mixing that and mastering it that I found that I started writing with other local musicians in mind and not myself. And it was funny because I approached them and said, hey, I wrote the song. I think you'd be awesome for it. And they're like, yeah, no, I write my own stuff. So, the cool part about it was though, the songs that I wrote for them, they ended up actually coming into the studio and doing the supporting vocals on the disc for, which was kind of a nice little thank you that I owe all of them. If you guys, the only person that sang a song that wasn't specifically written for him was Sean Hartman, came in and did Daydrift. And he did it after we met him, 2 days after we met him. I met him at a open mic night, and I was like, this guy is phenomenal. And that amazing country voice. And I was like, you got to come in and do backup vocals for this one song. I can hear it. And I ended up giving him a full verse because his voice was just too perfect for the song.
That's cool. How did you come up with the idea for the Butler Music project?
In all honesty, I'd been out of the scene for so long. I had an audition with RCA Studios back in 2006, and it did not end well. Basically, they were like, you know, your range is limited. Your songwriting's, we love your songwriting, but your guitar playing and your singing aren't up to the par we're looking for right now, or whatever. And so I kind of got disheartened, and I put down the guitar for like 6 years, and I stopped playing. And then when I moved back to Butler, after an engagement gone horribly wrong, I just started getting into the local music scene, and I was like literally just blown away from the talent I was hearing, and the original talent, like not cover bands. Like, I don't go to the bar to hear cover bands. I go to the bar, I want to hear people's originals, because I don't know. That's my source of like, I love hearing what other people's have message wise and stuff. So after I fell in love with good old Ernie and Tom Pappas and Scene Stage the World, who, if you guys ever get a chance, they're actually a different band name now. I'm trying to think of the name. Atlas Decay is the name of the band now. So if you heard them on Local Music Project, they're now Atlas Decay, but they're like a heavy, heavy metal band, like a screamo band. And you hear the kid's voice on the project, and you're just like, this kid sings like an angel. I'm like, oh yeah, but he screams like Satan. Like, so if you guys like that stuff, check them out. They're phenomenal. But like, so I started hearing all these people, and I was like, I wonder how many there are. And then I started kicking around the idea with some of the like Tom Pappas and Anthony Atkins, the ones that kind of led to the band name. And they're like, yeah, well, someone should put together a compilation disc of everybody. So that's where the project actually spawned. It was their idea. And I was like, screw it, I'm going to pursue it. And I went after it, and we had a major technical malfunction. We actually recorded 55 musicians, and we lost a virus, wiped out three hard drives. It was a program glitch that ended up deleting random wave files. And we ended up losing, 46 out of the 55 recordings we got, which was like heartbreaking, because there were songs that we recorded that I was just like, those were amazing. Cause we were actually setting the goal was that after recording 55 musicians, we were going to burn discs, 11 discs, and get 11 judges. And basically everyone from their disc had to say keep or scratch. And I was like, it ended up literally the technology gods decided the first volume. And the second volume never saw the light of day because we ran out of money. And because I financed the first one all myself. And I said the idea was that it would become a self-sustaining project. And we actually hit the point where we were paying for websites and everything else. And we ran out of funds. So we hit the point where, okay, if we take this to mastering, I'm going to have to pay out of pocket again, which I wasn't willing to do. So what was left in the fund, just we donated to the Arts Center. And the project kind of died there, sadly. But yeah, there was a whole nother disc coming out that was mixed and ready to go. We were just waiting on copyright signatures to allow us to sell it.
And I remember all of that going on, because we were in contact, obviously. Why don't you pick a song off of that disc, and I'll play it next.
The local music one? Oh, good old Ernie, the first track. It's good old Ernie or Mexico. The tracks 1 and 2, they're my two favorites. Good old Ernie and Tom Pappas. I love those two songs off that.
I'll tell you what, we'll play them both. It's, good old Ernie is smarter than your old man.
And yes, and I have to tell you the story behind the song, because I love this. Anthony's got a mind that it boggles me. And when you hear this kid's voice, you're just like, wow, the kid's got some pipes. But I told him that we were recording live, like the recordings. if the Art Center in Butler has this amazing acoustics to it. So I was like, we're not scratch tracking. You guys are coming and playing live and we're recording it. So it's going to be completely live. There's no drums. Like you could have, everyone was using a djembe or a cajon. And when he heard this, he went and wrote a song with the idea of, okay, if we're going to go acoustic, we're just going to go completely no guitars. And they came in with, his one guitar player played spoons. His, drummer was on, I don't even think they had their drummer, did they? No, but they brought the mandolin player and he brought 15 people with him to clap in the background. So when you hear the song, it is literally mandolin, spoons, and 15 people clapping. And he wrote it specifically because I told him how we were going to do the recording.
That's very cool.
Yes.
And then Tom Pappas is the song Mexico that we talked about earlier.
Yes, and when you hear this guy's voice, you'll just fall in love with him. Like I said, he reminds me a lot of David Gray. There's just so much heart and soul like in his voice, and he's one of those guys that you're like, I could fall asleep listening to him every night. And they're different genres too, so that's the other nice part about it.
Hey, so is there anything you want to tell the people that are listening? Anything at all?
Check us out. Like it's funny because we released the album and we got so much like a local swell of support for it. And it's funny because everyone, like we've discussed, the genre tend to jump a little bit. And so it's funny to me whenever we hear people say, oh, my favorite song's this one or my favorite song's that one. The one that seems to resonate with everybody is Drunk on Us though. And that's the one we ended up winning the Grassy Award for. That's the one that hands down people go, oh, Drunk on Us is one of my favorites. But yeah, it's weird. It kind of runs through the gambit of blues to, like you said, there was a Southern Rock, Glitter and Shine on there with Kelly from Highway 4. If you guys haven't heard Highway 4, check them out. But yeah, just check it out and send us a message on Facebook. Give us feedback. We always want to hear people. I love hearing what people think about it. Good or bad, if people trash it, I'm just like, hey, it's all input. It's all a process. So just check us out.
Okay. So if you're interested in hearing from Anger and the Ant after you hear their song that we played earlier, Easier to Forget, if on the show notes, so if you're listening and you're not on the website, barockshow.com, I have posted the video for Drunk on Us as well. So you can get a listen to that as well. And check them out on Facebook. They have the Twitter, but it doesn't sound like they use it the same way I do.
If you message us on Twitter, we will respond. It's just okay. It's one of those. I don't understand Twitter. That's Corey's world.
Hey, so I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Oh, I've had fun, sir. Thank you.
And I'm sure we'll be in touch as you put out more music and come in contact with more bands. Feel free to push bands my way and let me know if you have something else you want me to play.
Red Room Effect. Check out Red Room Effect. That's another one. They opened for us at our CD release party and they turned a lot of heads.
I will do that. In fact, I will do that tonight before I go to sleep.
Perfect.
So you've been listening to the Pennsylvania Rock Show featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer. Make sure you check out our website, parockshow.com, our podcast network, podcastyourscene.com, our, I want to call them sister podcasts, but the other podcasts in our network, which are the Weekly Rock Blog featuring Brian Schaefer, it's weeklyrockblog.com, and the American Hilljack Files, which are located at aproradio.com. And don't forget to go check out the Grassroots Show on 977rocks.com.
Creeping. Smarter than your old man. Collecting fools' gold won't provide. strings up more puppets. Deny your purse.